This week's Tower Way has been sponsored by one of our regular remote audio attendees, Le'ila Nishmas's father, Rav David Shmuel ben Rav Moshe Zichrono Levracha. Yud Zayin Ma'afeshvud, Friday the 2nd of November, Rabbi David Kaplan, Parshas Vayera.
Shalom Aleichem. All right, a few interesting points of the parsha. The first is with Avraham Avinu, the parsha point out, number one, the parsha begins with a contrast that Avraham Avinu is sitting at the entrance of the tent and he's looking for guests just after he did Bris Milah. And so you have Avraham Avinu, both Bris Milah, obviously, which represents control over a certain level of morality, and Avraham Avinu standing there at the entrance of the tent, and he's looking for guests, which is obviously the practice of Chesed. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come, and he's going to tell him about what he's going to do to Sodom, and which is the opposite in both areas. It's immoral and it's cruel. So you have the contrast between Avraham Avinu, which is morality and kindness, morality and chesed, versus the contrast, which is going to be a Sodom, which is obviously in both directions, but the polar opposite. And the idea being that it's to show us where our human being could reach, what the extremes are. A human being could be on the one hand, he could be an Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, he could be on Sodom, and the Torah is going to get to, the Torah is going to remind us that those are the two options that face us. Now, when the Malachim come to Sar Imenu, so it's very interesting because, number one, you don't find, it says that Sar Imenu left, and Vatitzchak Sar Bekir Balemar Chev Velosi Yosel Yadda Vadoni Zoke. So Sar Imenu left, and then later on it says Vatichachesh Sar Alemar Lot Zochakti Ki Areya Vayomer Lo Ki Zochakt. So I saw, it's brought, you know, how could she deny it? How could she deny the fact that she, I mean, he did a sorry man. It's not a different approach to the fortune, but she really is. Sometimes yes means, sometimes no means yes. Right? It's a no, but we both know you mean yes. Somebody just, I saw recently in Japan, they never say no in Japan. There's a yes, which means yes, and there's a yes, which means no. So, listen, you know, I can only tell you the facts. I to explain them, you can say sorry like I can. But there's a yes, you know. Do you mind, you know, would you like to give me a ride? Yes. Would you like me to come visit you? Yes. Apparently that yes means no. So I don't know, I don't know enough Japanese to know how it works. So sorry, Maina, the basic what she, Vatikachesh means, Vatikiarea. She was afraid, so she said no. But I was like, no, like that. She, okay. But so pshat is that Sar Imenu, we don't see any physical, there's no external show of her laughter. It's not that there's a laughter. When Avraham Avinu laughs and he falls over, that's a laughter. When a person laughs out of joy, they're the physical expression of that laughter. Person laughs out of joy and he falls over, it actually carries him, it carries him physically. When a person is laughing cynically, sometimes a person is laughing cynically, if a cynical laughter is only in the eyes. How many person just looks at you and just goes, you could even look, you could tell when a person's looking at you, that they're cynically, it's like, oh, yeah. and they don't even have to make the external gesture. It could be an internal laugh, an internal cynical laugh. And by Sar Imenu, it's so deep that she herself doesn't realize that deep down somewhere there's a laugh. But Tigrache Sharlem Malik is like Hiareya. She had such Yiras Hashem that for her herself, it's unimaginable that she's going to be cynical about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to her. And that deep, it's so deep down, but somewhere there's an akuda deep down where there is that cynical laugh from Sar Imenu. I mean, Mela, she's taken the task for it. Now, the obvious question everybody asks her is, you know, what are you blaming her for? I mean, just imagine, you know, she's 90 years old. She already cannot have children. She's sitting in a tent. These three vagrants who've been out in the sun, and they might have sunstroke, three vagrants come in from the desert, and they say, oh, and listen, by next year, you're going to be holding a child. And how would you feel? You know, maybe, you know, nowadays we always think the stranger the person is, he must be a Lamed Vovnik. You know, the weirder he is, the stranger he is, ooh, he must be a hidden tzaddik. He's very, very well hidden. Extremely. If you go to the Kreisel in Yerushalayim, sometimes you see, you know, some guys like dress up like King David. You know, ooh, he must be a tzaddik. You know, or he's King David's harp. You know, oh, yeah, a bigger tzaddik. You know, if he smells like vodka, he's even a bigger tzaddik. You know, I mean, come on. You know, the hidden tzaddik, The people who we see is the Gedolei Yisrael. Those are the biggest hidden tzaddikim, because whatever we know, the rest of it, most of it is hidden. So what do you want from Sari Imenu? What is it? What's Sari Imenu do? Some vagrant comes out, by next year you're going to have a baby. What should she do? What would any normal person do? What would any normal person do? So the answer is, the Ramban says, that Sari Imenu Tzvi on her, she should have said Amen. Sari Imenu should have said Amen. What does Amen mean? Amen means, you know, yeah, you can't hear also, it'll be. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that Sari Imenu is saying Amen because maybe this is the guy who can give me the bracha. Maybe this is the vagrant who... That's not what Pshat is. The Pshat of Amen is, I don't know if you've got the koach of bracha or not. Amen means that I believe that koach is a koach, that whatever you say, he could make it happen. And there's a flaw in Sari Imenu. The Ramban says that she should have said Amen because there's an indication, a lack... Sorry. There's a lack of her belief at some level, obviously, Sari Imenu, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach. Rav Chaskel Lavinshtein says, when we say, "Bifnei miyato asi liten din v'cheshu lifnei malach machel machem HaKadosh Baruch Hu," we're going to give a din v'cheshu before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Rav Chaskel says, why does the Mishnah say, "Bifnei miyato asi liten din v'cheshu lifnei melech malchem lochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu"? We know, we got the point to say, "Lifnei miyato asi liten din v'cheshu lifnei melech malchem." That's pretty intimidating. Says Rav Chaskel, because a Jew has to get to the level where he believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything at any time under any circumstances. That he's the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And we're going to give a Din V'Cheshvin besides everything else. We're going to give a Din V'Cheshvin on not having enough belief that he's the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. Bifnei miyata asid liten din v'cheshvin, lifnei melech malchei hamlochim, for not having internalized the concept of melech malchei hamlochim, we're going to give a din v'cheshvin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, he tells Avraham Avinu what's going to be happening in Sodom, and the destruction of Sodom. And then the Torah says, Vayomer Hashem, zaka Sodom v'amor ki robo, v'chatosav ki chov d'me'od. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph it says, Erdana v'era kitsa kosa aboy layosu kolo, v'im lo edoh. So Rashi says a katsa kosa. Rashi brings down sakas riva achas, young lady who had broke the law in Sodom, and she fed a poor person. This is the law. That was the law they had in Sodom. Shali shali shalach shalach zomida beinonis yesharim zomida Sodom. The most natural instinct of a human being to be a capitalist. Mine is mine, yours is yours, I'll take care of myself. As Ronald Reagan once said, let them pull themselves up by their bootstraps. That's what Ronald Reagan said. What he forgot was that the people couldn't even afford bootstraps. But let them pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Ronald Reagan, they once audited him, and he, out of a $200,000 salary for President of the United States 1 year, he gave $800 to charity, when that was to a museum. Right. That was it. Those are the same. That's Shalish Shalif Shalach Shalach. That's that Mida Beinonis. The Yeshua means the Mida Stone. Okay, the people of Stone had an economy, a booming economy. They're not interested in a bunch of freeloaders coming into town. So they make a law. Lot was very well accepted in Stone because after all, Lot is a man who's what do you call it? Lot is a wealthy individual. He could contribute to the economy. And so they bring him in. That medrash, the Chazal say that they had a bed at the entrance of Sodom. Everybody knows the medrash. We heard this medrash. The earliest medrash we ever heard. It's a bed. You get into the bed. If you're too short, they stretch you. If you're too tall, they chop your legs off. I had a kasha. I don't understand. How many times do you think that already happened? I mean, you look at your brochure for your travel plans. All right, let's see. Where do we want to go this year? Maybe we'll go vacation to Sodom. Well, you know, there are rumors that they chop people's legs off in Sodom. Right, you know, I would change my travel plans. I wouldn't even check to see. And if it did happen, how many times do you think it really happened? You really think a guy comes to the town and says, "Listen, buddy, you want to get in? Just get into the bed." Well, what's going to happen if I'm too tall? We're going to chop your legs off. I'm sure they would turn around and go in the other direction. How many times did it happen? So I think Chazal are telling us. I think it's Dabar Poshet. They had entrance quotas there. Chazal are telling you the people still want people who fit a certain profile. We don't want people too tall. Revolutionaries with strange ideas and people who are going to come up with change in our society because they want to do things differently. And we don't want people who are too short who are going to be a drain on our economy. So they pass a law. So what does she do? She goes and she breaks the law. She feeds a poor person. So they smear her with honey and put her up on a roof and the bees sting her. Okay, you want to be a sadist, that's a great form of torture, and it will certainly discourage anybody coming from town when I see a young lady up there screaming her heart out when she dies. It's certainly an efficient way to discourage tourism. But I think it's a much deeper than that. What's really going on here? I think that there's an argument going on between the Anshei Stom. Like everybody else in history, the Anshei Stom have to come up with some sort of rationalization. We, as human beings, are masters at rationalization. We can rationalize basically anything. So there's a machlokas here. So the Anshei Stom say, what are you doing? You broke the law. You fed the poor man. So she says, listen, you know, the guy's hungry. So the Anshei Stom said to her, listen, l'shitaseich, according to you, you're a do-gooder. We don't want anybody being fed. You want to feed people? L'shitaseich, why are you stopping at human beings? You ought to do good and feed the wildlife also. Because that's what you want to do. We say not to feed anybody. If you're already going to feed, feed everybody. And not only that, if you're going to do it, why should you only do it with your hands? If you're going to do the job right, feed them with your whole body. So you know what? Because you want to do this, we're going to help you to do what you want to do. We're going to smear you with honey, and now you can go up on the roof, and you could even feed the bees, because you're such a do-gooder. What's our argument going to be? But I'll die. If it be, I'll die from the stinging. So their argument is, no, you won't. One bee will come along and sting. You're not going to die for one bee sting. She says, yeah, but it's not going to be one bee. One bee will come, and then a whole swarm are going to come in. So that's exactly what we're saying. You feed one poor person, you're going to turn this place into a welfare state, and they're going to be one's going to bring the other. And therefore, exactly what you're doing is exactly what you're afraid of is exactly what we're afraid of. And therefore, you go up on earth, we're going to kill you. LMI, there's only one problem. They're wrong. The problem is that they're wrong. It's a great argument, rationalization. You know, the Remeir had a Talmud to give him Matarah, so Sheretz Mekufnum Taimim, he could show you 550 reasons why a snake is a kosher creature. It's only one problem. Not my problem. He's wrong. So the argument here is not stam an argument, let's torture her. They're showing her l'shitaseich, it doesn't work. After Sodom is destroyed, so I once heard, it's unbelievable, Avraham Avinu goes in and he negotiates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, he's the first Jew in history who gets involved in bargaining, in Maisa Ova Simla Bonim. Maybe that's where we got it from. But Avraham Avinu, you know, Avraham Avinu is negotiating about 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, okay, it's a bargaining session. So, afterwards, the Kodesh Baruch Hu destroys Sodom. Let me ask a question. You know, what would have happened if the Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have destroyed Sodom? Let's say the Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have destroyed Sodom. Let's say they would have found 10 tzaddikim, and they would not have destroyed Sodom. What would the headlines have said the next day? What headlines that Sodom would have said? You know what the answer is? There would have been no headlines. Because nobody in Sodom knew what was it. Nobody in Sodom knew it was a geyer. Nobody in Sodom knew that what was going on. It was only a Kodesh Baruch Hu talking Avraham Avinu. And if they would have said, you know what, there are 10 people here, Sodom was saved, the headlines the next day would have been life as usual. The Musar Haskel, obviously, I don't remember where somebody either heard it or saw it, I don't remember, is, you know, in our day and age, you have a koilo with 10 Avreichim are sitting learning a koilo. We'll never see the headlines of what they did for us. It doesn't say in the newspaper. There was a gzeira that something was supposed to happen, and it didn't happen because of 10 Avreichim learning a koilo. Because of one chesed organization. Because of one group of people who go to start the day of the Torah way. It doesn't say what the schus of the limud Torah is. It doesn't say what the schus of the chesed is. Because we don't get those headlines. But obviously the schus is so big that in Sodom, had they done such a thing, had there been those 10 tzaddikim, they would have never known what the schus was. The whole thing would have been saved in their merit. When Lot is saved, so I think everybody has this question. In Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chof Tes, so the Malachim pull Lot out of Sodom. So Rashi brings down, Vahi b'shaches elokim es arei ha-kikor, Vayizkor elokim es Avraham, Vayishalach es Lot mitoch ha-afecha v'afoch es ha-orim asher yosha ben Lot. I think everybody has this question. Rashi brings down, Ma'u zichiraso shel Avraham al-Lot, what was the zchus that Lot had? Nizkar shehaya Lot yodea shesara ishto shel Avraham. Lot knew that Sarah was Avraham's wife. He heard Avram said Achosihi. I mean, you know, you didn't snitch. Avram Avinu is going in with his wife, and he's got her hidden in the box. You know, you go through, when you go through it, nothing to declare. I just came through the airport. You know, nothing to declare. No one ever has anything to declare. People come into Israel with boxes, you know, with almost miniature trucks. You know, everybody's going, nobody's ever got anything to declare. So Avraham Avinu is going into Mitzrayim, nothing to declare. And then I pull over the box. What's in there? Hey, there's a lady in there. Yeah, it's my sister. I mean, I don't know how they got away with that. You know, so if it's your sister, why is she in the box? I used to put my sister in a closet once, you know, but never in a box when we're moving country to country. What's with the sister in a box? Okay, so Avraham Avinu tries that. That's his ishtadlus. So he goes in with the sister. And he says, well, it's my sister. And Lot is standing there. And so Lot said, well, no, actually, fellas, it's his wife. All right. What a schuss. He didn't say that. All right. What a schuss. He didn't get everybody to go, what's a schuss? I mean, you got to be a real no good Nick to blow the whistle on somebody. And you got to be a real no good Nick. So it's much more than that. No. We're overlooking one simple thing. It wasn't Stan that he's the class snitcher. Avraham Avinu goes and says, she's my sister. So what do they do? Like, you know, they're reasonable people. If he's a husband, we'll kill him. If he's a sister, we'll buy her. We'd much rather. It's like the mafia. Let's settle it reasonably before we blow things up. We're not looking to hurt people. We'll give you money, so we'll buy her from you. So Avraham Avinu says, she's my sister. Your sister? Great. So they give him matonos to make him rich. That's a big desire. You know why? Because she's really Lot's sister. Lot and Sarai Menu were brother and sister. They're both the children of Haran. So when Avraham Avinu says she's my sister, and now they're starting to give him money, that's an assignment for Lot. Because Lot is standing there thinking, hey, she's my sister. Everything he's getting, I'm supposed to be getting. That's the Nisayan. The Nisayan for Lot is that he doesn't blow the whistle when he loses something. That's something he's not a snitcher. That's something he's not a fan. And therefore, the Nisayan of Lot is such a strong Nisayan, and Lot overcomes it. More than that. Lot also had a schus of Hachnosos Orchim. When he brought in the Malachim, he didn't know they were Malachim. He brought them into the house. You see, the merit of Lashon Hara, not speaking Lashon Hara, not speaking, the Koach HaDibur is the Iker Schus he has. More than bringing the guests into the house, the Koach HaDibur, the Iker Schus that Lot has, is that he didn't talk. That's a bigger Schus that saves him, from stone. Imagine the following. Imagine you win 20 million pounds in the lottery. You win 20 million pounds. How could every... Amen, yeah. Say amen. How could we all win? Don't worry, because Baruch Hu's loaded. we'll work it out. You win 20 million pounds. So you take your 20 million pounds, and you're on your way. You decide, I'm in such a good mood, and I'm going to give 4 million pounds. You take the 4 million pounds and you're on your way to a Gabbai Tzedakah to give him 4 million pounds. And he's going to take these 4 million pounds out and he's going to support 500 families the entire year are going to eat Shabbos because of your 4 million pounds. Every Shabbos, there are 500 families, 3 sudos on Shabbos. Every Shabbos, because of your money, they're having Shabbos. How do you think you would sleep on Motzei Shabbos? Sleep pretty good. It's a very tremendous feeling of satisfaction. You know that your money supported 500 families every Shabbos. Okay? Now, just imagine you're on your way to the Gabbai Tzedakah. An anti-Semite stops you, and he says, look, you have a choice. You can either take one bite of bacon, pulls out some bacon, says, either take a bite of the bacon, or I'm going to take away your money, you're not going to be able to give it to the Gabbai Tzedakah, no 500 families. What's the halacha? Obviously, halacha is that you have to give up all your money, to give up all your money, now I'll have to take one bite of bacon. What about the 500 families? What about the schus? What all the cheshbonos? The bottom line is, we all know the halacha is, you're not allowed to do it. You have to give it up. Don't make the cheshbonos. Okay? Now, bacon is not an issue in our lives. But what if the anti-Semite says, okay, I want you to tell me one sentence of Lashon Hara, or I'm going to take away the 4 million pounds. You could even whisper it and say it fast. Right? And you can even say, you know, I really shouldn't say this, but you can even give a hakdama. Okay, you got every kula in the book, and all you have to say one sentence. All you have to say is Chaim has messy handwriting. That's all you have to say. One sentence of Lashon Hara. Halacha is you have to give it up. You're not allowed to say it. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody in this room who, in the course of the last week, you wanted to say something you shouldn't have said? You want to say something inappropriate and you restrained yourself, either a Lashon Hara or Noas Dvarim. Is there anything that happened in the course of the last week you were going to say something and you didn't? then you should sleep very well tonight. Because what you did is bigger than giving £4 million to tzedakah. Because it was a conflict between the two, you'd have to give up the money and not say the Lashon Hara. First, there says the schus, we sometimes we underestimate the schus of the losase, the schus of the restraint, particularly in the area of dibur. The schus is so, it's such an astounding schus, we ourselves don't realize the magnitude of what's being accomplished. Heard that from Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein. Reb C. Meir Zilberberg. Now, when the daughters, Machlokas, when they were in the cave, whether or not they were L'shem Shemayim, whether it was L'shem Znus, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin the wine for them. Now, the older daughter, very indiscreetly, Vatelet HaBechira Bein, Vatikra Shema Moav Hu Avi Moav Ad Hayom. So on the one hand, you're going to see that there's a criticism for her. On the one hand, it's a criticism because, you know, well, you shouldn't have, very indiscreet name off. On the other hand, Mashiach's going to come from there. There's a certain schus that she had. So there's a very big Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Mordechai Izvi. Maybe some of you may know him. Rabbi Izvi said once, what'd she do that? Why did she do that? Rabbi Izvi said she knew that there was a koch in the Bria, some sort of koch from the kochos atuma. That one day there's going to be a rumor, some sort of story about an immaculate conception. And she knew that there's going to be an entire Baba Maisa about a messianic redeemer, which is the result of an immaculate conception. I think Ramesha Feinstein, I think, might bring this down in the Igros Moshe also, the story. And there's going to be one day a rumor of a messianic conception, an immaculate conception which produces a Mashiach. She wanted to make sure that everybody knew that the shorish of Mashiach does not come from that sort of nonsense. That it's not an immaculate conception. Mo'av, it's a very human process. And that's a schus for her. And that's schus, she ends up, Mo'av ends up becoming the source for Mashiach. After, very quickly, after Avram, after this incident takes place, so the Torah says that Avram Avinu, he moves away. Vayisa misham Avram Artsa HaNegev. Avram Avinu leaves. Vayesha ben Kadesh uvein Shur vayogar b'gruah. Rashi brings down two perushim. It's the second perush. Avram after Lot did what he did. Avram Avinu moved away. He doesn't want to have anything to do with Lot. Everybody knew that he was involved with his daughters. So I thought the pshat could be that really, see, that sort of behavior we find the Torah refers to a brother-sister relationship as chesed. Avram Avinu, everybody knows, is the Isha chesed. Avram Avinu moves away because chesed is a very easy to confuse with that. Avram Avinu doesn't want anybody to think that he's granting an approval over here to Lot's behavior, which incidentally may very well be why the Anshei Sdom, it says that Lot was put in Shari Sdom, they made him to die and they put him right at the entrance of Sdom. Remember last week's parsha, it says Lot and Avram Avinu looked exactly alike. It says Lot and Avram Anashim Achim Anach look exactly alike. The Anshei Sdom knew that. They want to put Lot in the Shari Sdom, so that people might think that that's Avram Avinu who's approving of their behavior. And therefore, they use Lot as the sign. Well, see, everybody, we got Avram Avinu here, so our behavior is fine. Here's the Ish Chesed approves of us, and here's the Ish Chesed, once again, he moves away. Now, when Yitzchak is born, so sorry, Menu, you know, they name him Yitzchak. So everybody wonders, you know, what was Yitzchak? Yitzchak is called Yitzchak Al Shem HaTzchok. But obviously, I think it's a Dover Yadua, that when a person laughs, where does laughter come from? Where does laughter come from? Laughter is often associated, if you stop and think, when you laugh, people laugh sometimes in the most inappropriate situations. Laughter is often, usually, the result of something which is absurd, something which is totally unexpected. Somebody who's walking along and slips on a banana peel, as much as we don't want to laugh, it's still, just thinking about it sometimes triggers a smile. Just think about the idea of somebody go, ooh, and it's like, you know, it goes down on a banana peel. Why are we laughing? It's the last thing in the world we should be doing. Because it's so absurd, it's so out of what's expected, it somehow elicits, it touches something in us which brings about a laugh. Yitzchak Avinu's very existence is absurd. He's born to an Avram Avinu and a Sari Menu. His very existence is so absurd. Mimela Yitzchak is called Yitzchak. The very—it's an interesting irony because he's the Ish Din. The last thing you'd expect from somebody din is that his name should be Yitzhak. Yet, he's called Yitzhak al Shem HaTzchok, but he's called it because our whole existence is Tzchok. The fact that Klal Yisrael exists nowadays, that itself is a source of Tzchok. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu the Tzivui to bring Yitzhak up to the Akedah. Now, first of all, the Medrash says that on their way there, so Yitzhak Avinu says to Avraham Avinu, there's the fire, there's the wood, where's the set? I remember Avraham took three pieces of equipment with him. He took Esh, Eitzim, and a Machelas. It says Avraham Avinu took a Machelas. Why does Yitzchak say to Avraham Avinu, Hinei ha'esh ha'eitzim, why does he ask about the Machelas? Here's the eights, here's the ace, and where's the set? Why doesn't he point out the machalas? Okay, there's a chazal that Avraham Avinu kept the machalas hidden. But according to the Pshuto Shemikra, that Avraham Avinu had the machalas expelled, that he had everything with him, why doesn't Yitzchak ask about the machalas? Why doesn't he ask about the ace and the eitzim? That's sort of Shimon Schwab brings down in the Mayim Beis HaShoeva, he says, Yitzchak Avinu knew that obviously Avraham Avinu is going to slaughter him. That he knew. What Yitzchak Avinu Berovan Vesanusa didn't imagine that he himself is on the madrega of being an Ola Tamima. Okay? He has to give up his life. He had an argument with Yishmael. He said he'd be willing to die if necessary. And the Medrash says that that's what brought it about. So Yitzchak Avinu has no problem about being going to slaughter him. But Yitzchak doesn't understand. Even if he's slaughtered, he certainly will be slaughtered and buried. He's certainly not on the madrega of being an Ola Tamima. So he sees Avraham Avinu. And Avraham's got an eitz. He's got the eitz, and he's got the ash and the eitz in the eitz. He understands that whatever it is that's going to be slaughtered is going to be they're going to be makriv as a korban. So he says, "Listen, hinei ha'ash va'eitz va'yasel ola." So obviously it's not me because I'm not on the madrega of being an ola. And to that, Avraham says to him, "V'yom Avraham elokim yirlo asel ola b'ni." Yes, you are. V'yelchus shneim yachlov. Avraham says, "You are." The fact that you think you're not, doesn't mean you're not. You are on the madriga being an Ola. Last point, the Medrash that says that when the Malach comes to Avraham Avinu, so the Malach says to Avraham Avinu, Vayikra lov Malach Hashem in Hashem v'yamar Avraham v'yamar neni v'yamar al tishlach yodcha l'anar v'al taso ma'uma kiyata yodat girele gimata. Okay. So Malach says, don't do it. Because the Medrash, astonishing. Everybody knows the Medrash of the Pshat and the Medrash. You probably know the Pshat too. But the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu said to the Malach, okay. Malach says, don't do anything. Avraham says, should I strangle him? So Malach says, no, don't strangle him. So Avraham says, should I at least make a cut? And don't make a cut. He said, what should I do? He may ask set. Okay, there's a set over there. So the Medrash says, he took the say. Shechli said, every step of the way, he said, let this be as if it's Yitzchak. And when he skinned it, he said, let this be as if it's Yitzchak. There's only one problem. But it wasn't Yitzchak. So what did he gain? It was a set. It's not Yitzchak. So what did Avraham Avinu gain by saying that? Number one. Number two, you know, you've all been in a situation, everybody's been in a situation, you ever have a situation where you're sitting at a table and there's one last piece of cake. Okay, you want the cake? No, no, you take it. No, no, you take it. No, you take it. You take it. And he takes it. And he goes, ooh, why did I have to go the extra round? You know, I could have been at Tzaddik and I could have stopped one round earlier and he had the cake. He sees how generous I am and I could have said, why did I have to do that? You want to come to my house? No. You really don't want the person to come to your house. Oh, come on over. No, 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 I actually got plans already. No, no, really, we'd love to see you. You know what? I'll cancel my plans. I'll go, oh, no. And next thing you know, and they come, they go, why did I have to go there? Why, you know, just stop right where you are. And I said, what would happen over here? Avraham Avinu says to the Malach, you can imagine, he comes home and says to Sari Mena, listen, I got some good news and bad news. The good news is the Malach said not to Shech Yitzchak. Really? Yeah. But I offered to strangle him, and he said, yeah. You know, what are you doing? Yeah, don't say, hey, strangle him. Should I strangle him? Hey, we didn't think of that up here. You know what? Strangle him. Yeah, great idea. Strangle him. What are you playing? A game over here? So the answer is obviously it's no game at all. Dessler says, and this is a Yesodim Yiddishkeit, Dessler says that when a person experiences a moment of inspiration, Avraham Avinu has been working for 3 days on pumping himself, what we call psyching himself up, to get to the point where he's got the kochos and nefesh to do what he has to do. Avraham Avinu also realizes that when he does it, there's going to be a level that he reaches which would be previously unattainable. The mashal I use in, imagine if you have a, if a, when I was, all of us, any time we took examinations. When I went to university, so I remember the first thing that, don't worry, I didn't finish. But when I was in university, every instructor who came in, bar none, every instructor came in, the first thing that they introduced themselves, said, "My name is Mr. Peterson. Your grade will be based on this, that, and the other." So I knew right away, I understood that we all know that none of us are there for the education. We're only there for the grade. Now, imagine the instructor says to you, okay, you're having your final examination, and for 3 days and three nights you sit there studying. Then the day of the examination, you walk in, and you pick up your pencil, you're ready to write. And the instructor walks in and says, "Put away your pencils, everybody in class gets an A." What would your reaction be? The logical reaction would be, great, I'm thrilled, because that's what I was here for anyway. But the first knee-jerk reaction is going to be a sense of disappointment. I prepared myself for this, and now there's no room for expression. Avraham Avinu is preparing himself for 3 days. At the moment the Malach says to him, "Don't shecht," Avram's first reaction is, "So should I strangle him?" Because there has to be an expression of the potential energy, the ruchni energy that he's developed, that he's mustered up, in order to perform the akedah. So Avraham Avinu says, "Don't shecht him." He says, "So should I strangle him?" "No, don't strangle him. Should I at least make a cut?" "No, don't make a cut either." "So what should I do?" "There's a set. Let this be as if it's Yitzhak." In other words, he's putting all of that potential that he would have done, everything he gained, he puts into his son. Rav Dessler says that when a person has a moment of inspiration and he's inspired to do something, Rav Dessler says, if he doesn't translate that inspiration into an action, then his level will drop. I've read that Rav Dessler, the Michta Meili, I've read it several times. I don't understand exactly why. But Rav Dessler says that you have to take the moment of inspiration and translate it into an action. If you don't translate it into an action, then a person's level could actually drop lower than it was previously. Mela, those few moments that we get, or those many moments that we get, we have to take those moments and translate them into action. Shabbos.